You're listening to A-State Connections. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Arkansas State University is certified as a storm-ready university through the National Weather Service. This is due to the work of constant training that takes place between the university and local, state, and federal officials, and also due to an application process of work that the university has been doing. Training takes place with local police and fire units, the county, and with state offices of emergency management, and also with federal officials, and of course with officials with the National Weather Service. John Carville is a safety officer at Arkansas State University and leads the efforts to keep the university safe. I asked him how he got into doing this work.
I got into this because really, I'd worked at the university for about 8 years, and we started looking at things like addresses and different things from a construction standpoint and why they were the way they were. And we noticed that they just weren't consistent, and nobody really wanted to take that by the horns and say, let's fix this. And so I said, hey, I will. I'll do that. And so we went into a process of updating all of our addresses. And that kind of morphed into a exercise where we brought all of the response agencies in town, EMS, police, ambulances, fire, brought them up here to give them a tour of campus and make sure they're familiar with the layout, because it's changed a lot. A lot of those guys, they might have been here for 20 years, but they don't come on campus as often. They're not as familiar with it as we are. And so we wanted to make sure they knew that they could drive on our sidewalks. We wanted to make sure that the largest, fire engine would fit in some of the areas that we're telling them to go. So we would invite them up here and have them go through those exercises, if you will, drills kind of. And I kind of developed that from a facilities management standpoint. And it became pretty apparent that this was the kind of thing that emergency managers do. They try to help response agencies coordinate a little bit better. So I did that, and I designed that thing, brought them up here, fed them a meal, let them do all that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, that was kind of an emergency management exercise. The other thing that I've been getting into lately that's really piqued my interest is event management. I've got a role at football games, generally dealing with weather. So if we've got good weather, I'm in the stands, I'm watching the games, I'm a fan. But if the weather's looking bad, it looks like we may have to do something special there with the game, then I'm there. I'm in contact with the National Weather Service, and I've got some radar pulled up. I've got their chat stream pulled up. I can talk to them and call them and just kind of get advice from them. And so event management and emergency management are pretty similar. And so, as a matter of fact, we'll talk a little bit about this today. The Incident Command System is a standard way that the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA and all of the other emergency management agencies, it's kind of like an organizational chart for how you respond to a disaster. It's a standard way to do that so that if it gets out of your control and you need help, you've already kind of got that management system set up. Mm-hmm. So when other agencies come to help you, they can plug right into that. When you get into that and you start learning about it, they'll tell you that you don't have to use this just for disasters. You can use it for large events like graduations, football games, whatever you've got going on your campus. So I said, hey, why don't we plug in here to the football game? We all kind of have a role here already. As there's just so many different agencies that have to come together to make something like that happen. And so that's kind of where we're at an advantage, because we generally base our management of the football game between game management, university police, and all the other different agencies. It's loosely based on the incident command system. Mm-hmm. So we already kind of have that baked into the cake there for us. And so that's really fun for me to be a part of that. We actually kind of got a little bit of coordination going on with the Johnny Cash Music Festival. We got to work with Mississippi County officials. We worked with the Mississippi County Emergency Manager to kind of coordinate that a little bit with their sheriff department, our university police department this year. And it was great, a lot of fun. And, got to go and kind of see everything and see how it all works. And the biggest thing about that is you've worked with these folks on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that when something bad happens, you've worked together before. It's not the first time you've met, so you don't have to go through that. You're already kind of on the same page.
You were talking about, you know, football games and that, but as we're in the basketball season as well, I mean, do you do similar things for, like, when you have indoor events like basketball games and other things as well, or how do you all prepare for those kinds of things too?
Yeah, we do similar things. Our threshold is just a little different. So if we've got any lightning activity expected, you know, just run-of-the-mill thunderstorm for a football game, that can be a big deal. For a basketball game, just lightning is not that big of a deal. But if we're looking at a severe thunderstorm warning or severe thunderstorm watch or tornado watch or anything like really severe weather, then we're talking to the First National Bank Arena folks. We're talking to just different departments on campus. Hey, let's be aware. Let's make sure we understand that we may have to do a shelter-in-place operation. We may have to, you know,
sure.
Shut things down for a little bit and let the weather blow through. And so, yeah. Anything like that, it's just what we're keying on in the weather forecast is mm-hmm. different.
Absolutely. So tornadoes can happen around this time of year, which is why you need to think about those things.
They can, and what's interesting about that, you know, your longtime listeners may remember that Charles Raspberry and my dad, Richard Carville, they would come on air, and what they would do is they would take that message that comes across the emergency broadcast system. You know, you hear the squelch and you've got the, you know, the robot voice kind of telling you what's going on with the warning if it's a severe thunderstorm or tornado.
Yeah.
And they would repeat that so that if people were tuning in later, you know, at different intervals, they could get that information too. And what's really interesting about it is, this has been about 10 years ago now. We were in Marmaduke helping clean up after a tornado recovery, helped just on a Saturday volunteering down there with Dad. And we were taking a break, and we were kind of talking to some of the folks who we were helping there. And one of the old guys, he said, you know, you sound really familiar. And he said, well, you know, I'm Rich Carville. I worked at KASU. And he said, oh, yeah, you would come on air when something like this happened, and you would keep us safe. You would make sure we knew what was going on and all that. And that really impressed me. And I thought, you know, I really hope that that what we're doing today has that kind of impact on people. And as a matter of fact, when we accepted the Storm Ready University Award, and the meteorologists from Memphis came over and they presented it to us in a ceremony, Dad came to that, and he walked up, and I introduced him to the National Weather Service guys. I said, here's your original Storm Ready guy, because back in the 70s and 80s, he was taking and passing your messages along mm-hmm. On the radios, the medium we had then. So that's what we used. And I think it's really cool. I think, you know, I didn't set out to continue that work, but I'm proud that I kind of am.
John Carville joining us here on A-State Connections on KASU. So before we talk about the Weather Ready Nation ambassador that Arkansas State is and the Storm Ready University designations, I want to talk about how does the university work? You've talked a little bit about this by way of different ways you all do work with local police, fire, maybe OEM, which is Office of Emergency Management Officials in Craighead County and surrounding counties.
Yep.
How do you all do that? Because I know we've seen drills that take place on campus. And kind of tell us a little bit about the work that you all do to keep people on Arkansas State's campus, the students, faculty, and staff, how do you keep them all safe?
Well, it's a group effort, you know, and you mentioned you rattled off a few groups that we work with on a regular basis. You know, we had developed an emergency operations plan. That's a large 200-page document that deals with how we would respond to any given emergency based on a risk assessment that we've done, you know, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from earthquake recovery to severe weather to different, you know, man-made disasters and things like that we might respond to. So, you know, all of that, it really is a group effort. And like I was mentioning earlier, the football games give us an advantage. We've got that thing. I mean, it's great to have the community kind of come together, being excited about the game. But I think what at least I've realized is just the number of people and number of agencies that have to come together to make all that happen. And so when we're ready to talk about a severe weather event, the worst time that can happen, we talked earlier, we prepare for the worst and we hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
The worst time that a severe weather event can happen for us is when we're at a capacity football game. And so everybody already has a role there, the Jonesboro Police, the ambulance agencies, Jonesboro Fire, the FBI, even the National Guard has a role at our football games. And so we already kind of understand what we're supposed to be doing there. So it's easy to bring all those folks together and say, hey, let's talk through this scenario as if it happened in real life. So if you remember a few years ago, we had a derecho. We all know what a derecho is now. It's a straight line wind event, 70 to 100 mile an hour sustained winds.
Yeah.
So we all kind of know what that term is now. It happened back in 2014. So the scenario that we picked was, hey, what if this happened during a large football game? And we talked through all that, and you know, I design these things, you know, so I kind of feel like I know the answers, you know, to the questions that we're answering in tabletop exercises. A tabletop exercise is what it sounds like. We sit around a table, we walk through a scenario, and we kind of answer questions about it in our response. So when we walk through those things, I'll come up with questions. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to put people? And in the middle of the thing, we'll have facilities management there. It's not somebody you would think of as a response agency. But they'll say, hey, you know, the Student Activity Center has a roof that's rated to withstand 90-mile-an-hour winds. And we kind of all perk up and say, hey, that's a pretty good place to be for lightning. It may not be the place to be for a tornado. And if we've got a tornado watch and we've got some other issues going on, we're thinking bigger picture.
Sure.
But if we're just dealing with lightning, which we deal with routinely, that's a great place to be. It's a big open space. We can get a lot of people in there. And so that's kind of where we designated is what came out of that exercise. And so it's really about bringing all those agencies together, exercising the plan that we have, and, you know, making sure that the things in it, the elements in it, are realistic, that we can do all of those things. And if we can't, this has to be changed. And that's how we update that. It's usually do that at least once a year on a large scale, and a few other times a year along the way, kind of smaller scale. With different departments and different activities, different drills, different scenarios. Yeah.
John Carville joining us here on A-State Connections on KASU. So tell us, how did the university become a weather-ready nation ambassador? This is the first of two designations from the university. Kind of tell us about that, how that came about, please.
So the weather-ready nation ambassador program, it's a marketing program for the National Weather Service, and their interest in marketing their products, their forecast products, is to just raise awareness and to get more people to see them. And so by being an ambassador for them in the Weather Ready Nation program, what we're agreeing to do is just share their products with our campus community. And so we do that in various ways. Bill Smith over with Director of Marketing Communication and his folks, they handle that on social media. So if we've got severe weather expected, you may get a little, you know, a tweet or a Facebook post that says, hey, just be aware. And they'll share the watch. You know, if the National Weather Service has issued a watch, they'll share that. KESU, when Brandon Tabor comes on in the morning and he says the National Weather Service says this, we're passing that on. So, I mean, that's part of that ambassador program.
Sure.
On my part, I generally do that more on an internal level. So, like, I've got a group of administrators and other folks who deal with outdoor events regularly, who deal with vulnerable populations like children. They're playing outside in recess and stuff like that at the daycare. And so when we get a little heads up like that, maybe even before they issue a watch, I'll send that out to that internal email group. And I'll say, hey, you guys just be aware. If you got any questions, let me know. The National Weather Service has a briefing page. They have a YouTube page you can subscribe to and some different things. And I'll send I'll just kind of forward those things on to those different folks.
Right.
We have a twice a year, we go to facilities management, and those folks who work outside, who work in the elements, and we do a cold stress training so that folks can understand what to look for symptoms of hypothermia, for frostbite, those kinds of things. And then in the summertime, we do a heat illness training so people can be aware of what the heat does to their body and heat exhaustion and those kinds of things. And so that's kind of how I pass that stuff on and how, you know, I do it on my end, but it really is a group effort. You know, there's a lot of people that contribute to that designation and what makes us a weather-ready nation ambassador.
Now, you all became storm-ready. I guess did this kind of lead to the storm-ready university designation? And what's the difference between the two, please?
So it was kind of like a step along the way to becoming a storm-ready university. The storm-ready university is different from the ambassador program because this is just a lot more involved. There's an actual application process. You have to there are just certain criteria that you have to meet. And so some of those might be you have to have a 24-hour warning point. And so we've got the University Police Department here. That's our 24-hour warning point. We're really fortunate to have sworn police officers on our campus 24/7, always watching out. Dispatch center is always live. They've got multiple ways to receive weather alerts in the dispatch center, so that's one of those requirements. They have to have multiple ways to receive those alerts. They've got to have a way to broadcast alerts to the campus community. So we've got an emergency alert text and email that we'll send. KESU has the ability, and it's part of the emergency broadcast system. So when those come across and those go out to the community and to the campus, that's another check on that requirement list. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking around at that, and we said, you know, we're doing 80-90% of this already. So really all we had to do was hold a tabletop exercise. I kind of talked about that one that we did, and that's something that we will do every year.
Yeah.
On some level. And we were even already hosting weather training on campus. The Department of Disaster Preparedness and Emergency Management over in the nursing department, the nursing college, excuse me, they were bringing groups from that are contracted through the Department of Homeland Security onto campus to teach these courses already. So, you know, we had a storm spotter class back in the spring, but that was kind of icing on the cake because a lot of those things were just checked off. We just had to kind of develop that relationship with the National Weather Service, go over to their partnership meetings. The tabletop that we wrote dealing with the stadium last year, we did that with the National Weather Service. They gave us the graphics. They gave us the scenario. They made it real for us. They made it realistic. And we worked really closely with them. So, you know, it's about developing that relationship. You know, we've got these requirements that we've kind of ticked off and made that happen. So, I mean, that's kind of the process. Just a little bit more involved in the ambassador program, but yeah.
Yeah. But how does it benefit the university to have these designations as a whole? Especially the Storm Ready University designation.
Well, it's really about, like I said, having a really close relationship with the National Weather Service. So I can give you a specific example. I was at a conference in Hot Springs, and we had a ball game Saturday. I think this might have been Thursday. And we were focused kind of on Saturday about the weather, you know, and so the weather looked good Saturday, so we weren't worried too much about what was going to go on. But we had some weather coming in that night. We had our pep rally, order of the pack. I'm sitting, this kind of stuff happens a lot, it's weird, but I'm sitting in a presentation for the National Weather Service and talking about a lot of the stuff, the decision support they can give you, a lot of the stuff that that they can help, they help us with or trying to help other folks with.
Right.
And so I'm listening to all this, and yeah, you know, we do all that kind of stuff. And I get an email from the Dean of Students who says, hey, what about the weather tonight? Do we need to move inside? And I'm like, well, I can just go ask these guys. And I knew not to ask them because they weren't the meteorologist that was on duty. So I just was able to call the office at Memphis and say, hey, what do you guys think about tonight? And they're like, hey, lightning activity all night long. You know, like, okay, we probably should move inside. Yeah, probably so. So we were able to make that decision with support from the National Weather Service and move that into the Convocations or the First National Bank Arena.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, just because we've got that relationship with them, we're comfortable with them to call them. They give us a briefing before every football game. Like, you know, a few days in advance, they'll tell us specifically what it looks like and lightning activity and that kind of thing. Different things that we ask them to look out for us for, things like the wind speed. We've got a threshold of like 25 miles an hour, 20, 25 miles an hour, and it gets above that. Start thinking about, oh, our tents and mm-hmm. different things like that. And so, you know, and the other thing that it does is it just gets the message out there, right? I mean, originally it's a marketing program. It helps them get their product out there. It helps us just make sure that our campus community, students, faculty, staff, prospective students, parents, all understand what it is that we're doing up here to prepare for weather, so they understand the procedures that we need them to undertake when we have a severe weather warning. And, yeah, I think those are the biggest benefits.
Yeah, and that's something that you work a lot. I mean, this is your job, obviously, but what would you say, boy, you all are constantly training, right, and constantly doing drills and all those things. Is that correct?
We drill a lot. You know, we drill on a lot of different things. You know, we do evacuation drills. We do for fire and things like that. We do these tabletops on a number of different topics. I mean, the, you know, and a lot of times it's whatever is you know, kind of on people's minds at the time. We went down to San Antonio back in September and walked through a tabletop exercise with a bunch of different colleges and universities to talk about a protest that interrupts a major campus event. It's not something I think that in this area is a huge concern, but it's still something to kind of prepare for.
Sure, yeah.
So we thought that the best way to kind of bring that home is just take that scenario, modify it a little bit for our purposes, and put that in front of some administrators here and some key members of our emergency management team, and just let them walk through it and see kind of the issues that we saw, and you know, help highlight some of that stuff and just improve our response, improve our recovery, improve, you know, our preparation, preparedness, and all that. And so it's those are the kind of things that, you know, we're always doing. We're always, you know, trying to look at that kind of stuff. The thing that has become pretty apparent to me is that in any given situation, as far as what the public needs to do, there are really only two things, right? We need to either evacuate or we need to shelter in place. There's different kinds of evacuations. You might just evacuate a section of a building. You might evacuate the whole building. You might evacuate an entire sector of campus or the entire campus. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those are the things we kind of talk about and prepare for. Shelter in place might be a lockdown situation, or it might just be drop, cover, and hold on, like we did with the earthquake, the great shakeout drill we did back in October. And it may just be go to the lowest, most interior level of the building for your severe weather safe space. So just because we're focusing on a specific thing or a specific hazard or a specific risk doesn't mean that we won't learn things about others. Mm-hmm. And so I've got a pretty funny example about that. So a couple of years ago now, it was 2016, I believe it was, we did a tabletop exercise that dealt with a passenger aircraft crash on our campus. What would happen if a commercial airline was to come and crash on our farm?
Right.
We situationed it there on our farm. We had a scenario that we were working through with the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA that they kind of presented to us on a conference call, other colleges and universities, and, you know, video conference call, and we all kind of went around and answered questions about the scenario. where we situated the crash site had an evacuation radius, and it happened to cut off this intersection of Red Wolf and Aggie Road. And so we got to looking at that. At that time, the construction of the underpass, the extension of University Loop West, was still ongoing, so that road was closed. We had cut off Aggie and Red Wolf, and we get to kind of looking at the map and going, wow, if we were to need to evacuate, we couldn't use this. We really only got University Loop to use. And
yeah.
So we started thinking, well, which other ones can we use? We can use sidewalks. We can use, you know, some of the larger sidewalks. We can use one-way streets. We can use some traffic control and kind of go out the indoor, if you will. And so we talked about that, and we worked through that, and that seemed like a pretty good solution. We had a lot more ways to get off campus than it looked like we did. So we talked about that. We went through all that. That night was the historic flash flooding that we had on campus. I believe that was May 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, almost every building was either flooded or it was coming in from the roof.
Yeah, and that was where you had like 6 inches of rain fall in 3 hours or something like that.
Yes, lots of rain. It was just crazy. Well, it just so happened that it flooded the intersection of Aggie and Red Wolf. We couldn't use it. When we couldn't use the underpass because it wasn't finished. There were about 20 cars, or I think was what I remember, that were in the library parking lot that needed to get out, and there was nowhere for them to go using the road. So they opened a gate, an outgate. They took them up by the library, by the museum, across a sidewalk up to Aggie Road, and then back up to University Loop, and they got them out using that process that we talked about in a totally different scenario earlier that day. And so, you know, the joke in emergency management circles is, you can't do any more exercises because every time you do, something happens, you know. And so we kind of laugh about that, you know, but the reality is, and the thing I think that we all realize, is that those were just in time.
That's Safety Officer John Carville at Arkansas State University. I'm Jonathan Reeves for A-State Connections.